to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost an hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith. DNC wrapping up, so I guess it's official now, right? If we can begin the actual campaign season. So not that that hasn't been happening already. I think that Donald Trump's been throwing punches for a while, but now I guess the mudslinging on both sides, I suppose, can officially begin. So we'll be highlighting a little bit of that. And one of the more interesting elements that I found, again, not really watched, I haven't watched, other than just pieces and parts pulling things together here to see what it's all about. But the address from Khazir Khan, I'm guessing is how you say his name, who was is the father of a soldier killed in 2004 serving in the U.S. Army. Very interesting questions that he brings up, and I think that this is worth taking a closer look at. Very telling. I will get into that. We'll also get into what Megyn Kelly's up to and Melania Trump's website apparently disappearing because of some interesting things that she said that maybe weren't true. We'll talk about all of that and more this afternoon. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We are back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Posted this over on my Facebook page. Follow me there, by the way, Leo C. Brown. You can join in the conversation as often is the case, which, again, sometimes it goes and goes and goes for days and days and days, and that's okay. We have the freedom over there on Facebook to spend that kind of time together, and we could do that. So follow me there. But I did repost this from another Breadbox Media host, Timothy Putnam, who hosts Outside the Walls, a weekend show here on the network. And he posted Jason Hall's comments. Jason Hall, frequent guest with Mike Allen, who also is a Catholic Stand contributor. And I think that, I guess the hope that I have is that those who have such disdain for those of us voting for third-party candidates would stop. Just stop. Because the logic he poses in this post, I think, is worth considering. Because basically, even though there are those who have little regard, apparently, for Trump and his positions, still value that more than the Clinton side. Therefore, the vote for Trump is to stop Hillary. Whereas the vote that would be going to Trump, going to a third party, is only going to Hillary, which the flawed logic there. And again, if that's where you are, if that's what you believe, I know that that's the narrative. I get that. But just leave the rest of us alone, right? We're not morally obligated to vote for Donald Trump, even if you think we are, or to vote for Clinton. And I've said this many times. I love the fact that my liberal friends, they tell me I'm putting Trump in the White House because I'm voting for a third party. And my conservative friends tell me, well, you know, you're just putting Clinton in the White House because of your third-party vote. No. I'm not doing either. I assure you, I'm voting with my conscience, a well-informed, God willing, conscience, thanks to what I have gleaned from the teachings of the Catholic Church. And I'm voting on my principles. So, you can leave me alone now. And you could say, well, Leo, you invite it because you're so vocal about it, and everybody knows about Soraya Foss now, at least those who follow you on Facebook. So anyway, way to go, Jason. Thank you for that extra vote of confidence for those of us choosing a third-party candidate. And by a third-party candidate, I don't mean Gary Johnson, right? Please realize that. I know there are those who are like, well, he's kind of the only third-party. No, no. There's not now just another third choice. Speaking of voting, supposedly after this gentleman spoke at the DNC last night, the searches for voter registration went through the roof. And it's interesting, right? Because I think this is, and maybe we've had this type of metric and these analytics in the past, but I don't think like we do now. I think now is a time where we've got instant access to things happening that we can really see reactions. It's not just the old, whatever the guy's name was, Lubitz, is that his name? I'm drawing a blank. The guy who did the Fox News stuff, and he would poll audience responses based on things that people say. I mean, now you can just watch the internet go crazy, depending on what it is. So Kazir Khan, I think is how you pronounce his name. Again, I haven't heard it pronounced, I only read it, so I'm guessing that's his pronunciation. The father of fallen army soldier in the wake of 2001 and the military response. And essentially, what he had to say when it comes to the Muslim perspective on this country, and certainly the life and death and legacy and sacrifice of his son, just a beautiful expression of showing the world, really, because all eyes are on this convention at this point, showing the world, really, that America is a place for Muslims. America is a place where Muslims give of their lives, serve their country, and should have some degree of respect for that, should not be disregarded as either second-class citizens or suspicious characters or some sort of dubious, perhaps, activity taking place that the rest of us don't see. And praise God for this guy coming out and saying what he said and taking that stance of being that willing to be that powerful witness about what Muslim Americans can accomplish and do accomplish and will accomplish. And I think that when we're at a point now with the rhetoric in this fever pitch of fear and anxiety, that everyone is convinced that all Muslims are suspect, it's tragic, right? Because I've said this a zillion times, and I will continue to keep saying this, that we must protect the religious liberty of others for the sake of our own religious liberty. Realize that this is a two-way street. We don't get to say we choose our liberties over yours. Now, granted, there are those who are fine with that choice, but that's not what the Constitution is based upon, which, of course, Khan, in his talk, apparently held up his copy that he has. Who carries a copy of the U.S. Constitution, right? This guy. He's got his copy. And he said to Donald Trump, if you haven't read this, you can borrow my copy so you can read it. What a beautiful and powerful witness. And we get to realize again that this is something that we, especially as Catholics, my goodness, right? Because we've been down this road, even in this country, at the beginning of this republic, we had issues being accepted. We were looked at suspiciously. And certainly there have been insurgencies and revolutions and all kinds of bizarre dynamics since the beginning that have created challenges for us as Catholics. there's a long history of this. So if anyone should come to the gate and stand behind those who are being viewed suspiciously, and you could say, well, there's no real persecution of this group. There's nothing of that. Well, I mean, we may not have seen what could potentially come if this gets full-blown to the point of what some want. What some want. Mark Shea, in his blog post, had some interesting statistics. This was regarding those who support Donald Trump, and there are those who support a ban, who do support. I don't have the infographic in front of me now with all of the stats, but there are those who support a ban, a 100% ban on Muslims entering this country ever. And those who support them being removed from this country. This should tell us something. And it should tell us that, you know, this is not the land of the free. This is maybe the home of those who think they're being brave by making statements and outlandish, absurd claims of this nature that are that discriminatory and limiting. But this is the unfortunate reality of what we've created when we put this rhetoric into the spin cycle of fever pitchdom that gets to the point of just a disregard for any kind of truth. And I'm so tired of hearing the, well, if Muslims blah, 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 then they would do this. Well, I don't know. Maybe find another source of information than whatever it is you've got. I'm not here to call out any particular news sources, but there are those who are so agenda-oriented that they're never going to tell that story. They're certainly not going to present it in a way that says, you know what, Muslims are targeted at a much higher rate than anyone else when it comes to extremism. They're the number one target. It's not Christians, it's not Americans, not even Westerners. It's those in their own country, Muslim countries, who are victims of extremism. We got to realize that. We don't hear that. Those who say, well, Muslims need to come out and denounce the violence, they do. Every single time. Go back to 2001, if you need a reference point. There were those immediately after the attacks, Muslim leaders coming out and condemning this. I don't know where we get our notions to think that this isn't the case. So again, I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton, but thank you, Kazir Khan, for saying what you said last night. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this. Redbox Media now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media. Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for chiming into the discussion over on Facebook. That just keeps things lively, and I appreciate it so much. My post about Donald Trump apparently saying in the CNN with this report saying that he would like to hit DNC speakers who disparage him. Maybe he'd like to pin them down and shave their heads like he did at the WrestleMania event. Maybe that would be the better approach. And then, of course, it got off the rails with me saying crazy stuff with friends saying this has got to be a publicity stunt. And I said, and comparing him to Andy Kaufman, right? Of course, Kaufman, the comedic genius, really. I mean, veering into territory that few comedians have ever, and certainly never since, this guy. Brilliant, I believe brilliant in so, so many ways. But, of course, doing the whole wrestling the women shtick, right? Which was a shtick, of course, but get everybody in the uproar. I don't think this is a shtick. I don't think it is. I think it's Trump being Trump. It's who he is. And then, of course, I make the statement about the lack of class that this brings to the equation. And it's, of course, and honestly, this is how it should be. I would hope that those who support their guy supports their guy or gal, whomever that might be. I would hope that you stand behind them with every degree of tenacity, stick-to-itiveness, whatever it takes getting through this campaign, right? Hang in there. Whoever you're supporting, hang the heck in there. So it's going to be interesting as we move this forward. But back to punching those who he finds disagreeable. My question basically is this the behavior? Is this what we want in our leader of the free world? Some would say yes. Yes. It's darn time. Absolutely. This is what we want. This is what we haven't had. And even Teddy Roosevelt at least said speak softly, right? Yeah, he mentioned the big stick, but his admonition was to have a softness about you. A preparedness, yes, but an outward, for all accounts and purposes, unsuspecting degree of humility, perhaps timidity, even. Meek, I think that's the word, right? We should admire meekness. We should really admire the heck out of meekness, because meek is not weak. Meek is you could take the heck out of anyone, anywhere, anytime, slay them verbally, physically, you name it. You could do it. You know what you're going to instead choose the meek route. As a musician, I say this. You know what? I'm impressed with the, and one of my all-time favorite guitarists, Mike Campbell. Mike Campbell, who has played as, sat in on some big, huge recordings over the years, Don Henley's Boys of Summer. He is the guitarist for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, been with him forever. This guy could play solo guitar in some of the most amazing ways imaginable. If he chose to unleash in that fashion. But the way he plays is appropriate to the music. And this is what I value about it. I love players like this who will play appropriately and complementary. We call it tastefulness. Musicians say, wow, you know, that's a tasteful. That's very, very tasteful. It's a common thing to say of a musician who is meek. Because what they're not doing is showboating. And interestingly enough, well, and I won't say this, it's not unilaterally. There are those musicians who want to see someone showboat, who are excited by fretboard gymnastics, as we've said, referred to these type of players. Then there's another batch of players and musicians, especially musicians, who value the meekness. So I know it's kind of like, and you know, I mean, this political season is that as well. There are those who will see the integrity, they will see the depth of an individual and realize, man, this guy could, I mean, in speaking of musical terms, you know, there are monster players. I mean, guys who, like Mike Campbell, who could slay anyone, right? Like if it was Steve Vai, like at Crossroads, I remember with Ralph Macchio, is that how you say his name? He was doing the classical thing and supposedly, you know, frustrates the Satanist Steve Vai deal there in the Battle for the Soul. If Mike Campbell's up against Steve Vai, Campbell is going to slay him. I'm sorry. He's going to do it in sheer taste, if nothing else. But he doesn't have to prove himself that way. And there's something about the confidence that comes with those type of musicians. You know, some of the most amazing 3 to 5 chord songs are just laden with reserve, right? With a willingness to reserve oneself, not to be out there with such flamboyance. And generally, those are the songs that get classic status. And there's something about that simplicity that we value. Where is that? I've yet to see that. And I'm not sure that we will. But I think early on there were those who hoped that Jeb Bush would emerge as that guy. Because he does. I mean, he has a degree of meekness, but it's seen as being weak. It's seen as being ineffective. Which, that's very unfortunate. Because that's... You obviously don't... There are no redos in this political season. But something of that nature where you see someone who is a seasoned statesman who knows how to handle himself. And I would say, yeah, I'm critical of Reagan. I'm not a huge fan for a number of reasons, primarily. And the conservatives who love this guy and think he hung the moon, I think, forget that he ushered in no-fault divorce in California in the late 60s as governor. And now it's law of the land. And ask anybody who's been through that tragic situation of ripping families apart simply because one person feels like, oh, you know what, this is done. I'm out of here. Gone. Bye. And I know there have been many victims of that. We did not even have that. Didn't even know what it was. And people talk about, well, the divorce rate is in direct correlation to birth control and this and that. They try to find all these connect points. Yeah, you know, look at what Ronald Reagan did. Now you got divorce rate skyrocketing after the late 60s because he ushered in legislation that said, okay, you can do this. And then it went across the country. But he did seem to at least have that ability to appear to be classy, right? He at least was able to pull it off looking like some sort of class act, and then maybe not always having, I don't know. I mean, that piece of legislation, I'm sorry, right? Can you applaud that? Can you really applaud that? Or can you just say, well, in the grand scheme of everything else he did, really? I can't buy that. I think that was a very devastating, detrimental blow to family. For those, certainly the Catholic ilk, who are quote unquote pro-life, pro-family, and Reagan worshipers, and I know you're out there, really doesn't add up. So anyway, I want to see that. I don't see that in this election. I don't see that meekness. I don't see that decorum, that class, that tastefulness. I want Mike Campbell. I want the political equivalent of Mike Campbell. Right? I don't know who that is. Maybe he doesn't exist, he or she. Soraya Foss, my pick. Hey, yeah, I think she's meek. She's young. She's inexperienced. She's not a politician, but she has the values, certainly, that I believe in. But certainly not on that grand scale that, man, I would love to see that, right? So love to see it. I don't care what side of the political fence you're on. I just want to see some class in this. Wouldn't that be great? More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon. We're back at Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. I have been accused of being a Trump basher. I hope I'm not a Trump basher. Quite honestly, I hope I'm a questioner. I hope I ask questions and I examine this in a way to say, is this the best method? Is this the best technique? Not just simply saying so-and-so is whatever. I mean, yeah, whatever. I mean, we got to ask good questions. Ask good questions, get good answers, have good conversations, and be respectful. And be honor the dignity of each individual. Hopefully, I do that. And forgive me if I don't at times, if I get off track with that. I certainly don't mean to. And hopefully, this is probably not enough of amends, but I did post on my Facebook page. Please look at it. It's there. Not a lot of play on this, but there was a slanderous story that came out about Trump and his family in a tax evasion situation where it looked like this was going to a potential prosecution, you name it, all of this. And if you study this a little bit more, the headline was very deceiving. And it turns out that this is a material accomplice, something of this nature, from someone that had affiliation with the Trump organization, no longer there, and now he himself, this gentleman who was a part of this working relationship at one point, he's the one that's facing the tough stuff. Not Trump, not his family, nothing of the nature that this would lead you to believe it is, and therefore, I, posting on my page what I'm hoping others will see as at least some degree of defense. I'm not a total hater. I'm not going to let someone slander someone else without revealing truth. I would hope that we get to the bottom of things and we see what is actually presented here. Now, there are those who will defend Trump for anything. You say, well, he never said that Mexico only sends us the rapists and... Really? I mean, that's there. I've posted that back on my page to say, here's the video. This is not altered in any way. It's not edited to make it sound like something else. Well, Trump never mocked a disabled reporter. Really? He didn't do that. Really? Right. So don't go to the extreme of saying that things didn't happen that did. And I'm going to be as fair as I can. And when I find these things, I'm like, oh, this was a misrepresentation. Let's set this record straight as much as we can. Speaking of interesting things where there might be rumors flying around, Megyn Kelly apparently hanging out with CNN at the DNC. This was witnessed by many who think now that there could be some degree of courtship taking place on the CNN side. Not sure when her contract is up, but seems to be something that could happen in the foreseeable future, that there could be a jump to CNN. Now, I think she's a Fox News darling. I think she would have a more difficult time at CNN. We watch some people go from CNN over to Fox News. This was the trajectory of Glenn Beck. He had his program there, kind of always had a degree of probably one of the strongest conservative voices at the time on CNN, but never really had the freedom he seemed to enjoy when he stepped into the Fox News role. And then, as far as I'm concerned, quite honestly, he seemed to derail himself. Now, I know he's still a big media star. He's got the whole Blaze thing going, and there are those who value his perspective. But he kind of began to caricaturize himself, to me, personally. And I always saw this as a bit of an act. And as we were talking earlier about Donald Trump, and there are those who are like, well, we want this to be an act because we can't believe it's true. Glenn Beck and I know we're in two completely, totally, not even remotely comparable worlds now, right, in our careers, but we began in a very similar fashion. Not that we were working across the hall from anyone, either of us, but we began in rock radio as morning show hosts. And I can assure you my show is completely different now than it was then. I do not do the antics we did at the time. There are many who miss those days with me as in that role, and I know it was very entertaining. We worked very hard on the show, but everything we did, let's put it this way, 90% of everything we did was completely fabricated. It was extreme, and we did a lot of very compelling things that seemed to be real to the listener, but it was all theater. We just made stuff up intentionally to be as sensational as we possibly could be. You name it, whatever it was, from hosts spending time in jail to bothersome phone calls on my honeymoon. There were many things that we did throughout those years that people still talk about to this day, 20 however many years later. It's still talked about, some of the antics, some of the bits that we did, and because we would do these elaborate show pieces, and they would drag on for a week or more at times, that were centered around what was supposed reality, which was just us sitting in the studio dreaming up things and putting them on the air. And it was crazy. It was crazy, the stuff that we did. And it worked. It was very compelling radio, and our ratings prove that. But there was something that happened to me in the process of all of that, and that was coming to a grasp of my faith life and getting more into that, and then becoming a Catholic. And I thought, you know, I can't do that type of radio anymore. I can't do this nothing is real type of scenario. I have to address issues. I have to combat, and there are those again who say, well, Leo, we liked you better before. Well, I understand that. I get it. It was fun and it was entertaining, and I know it was, and we did a tremendously good show. However, there has to be someone who is willing to go, you know what, it's not just about show business. I could do that. I know it well. I know that shtick again. But I'm not going to be the Glenn Beck of Catholic media. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take that approach and say, you know, let's just get as ridiculously extreme as we possibly can and get let the histrionics play out as sensationally as they possibly can, and people will flock to that. No, I believe integrity and honesty, transparency, these are the things that will make the difference. I believe that. There will always be places for those who are strictly in the entertainment world, which, again, as a 20-something kid in rock radio, it was my ticket to success, and it worked. And we had a heck of a show. But I cannot continue doing that today, nor will I. So, all of this to say, Glenn Beck, that's where I see him. But left that world of CNN and then just kind of, I think, derailed himself. Megyn Kelly, what's going to happen? If she gets that opportunity, will it come around to looking like something that she has now on the CNN stage? Hard to say. And it's all just darn speculation. But it started me thinking about Glenn Beck, obviously, and that's where I ended up. So, Melania Trump in the news. Looks like her website has been scrubbed, the website that once had a resume, at least a biography there, a bio piece of her having completed university work and supposedly receiving a degree, which has not been validated, apparently. And there are those who say, no, she was on her way out and to Milan before she finished her degree in Slovenia. And no, that didn't happen. So now that record and that website is not even remotely findable. Posted the piece over my Facebook page. Apparently, Huffington Post does have a screenshot of the stuff, but you can't find it online, which, considering the fact that it's so completely difficult to scrub anything in the digital world and the online webosphere, that's impressive. It's impressive that that's been able to be removed that way. But yeah, I mean, it all comes down again. You know, where's the integrity in any of this? I mean, for me, I'm looking at two sides of this that they are equally despicable to me. And I get it. There are those who will fight me all day long on it, who think I'm either naive or confused or dishonest or... I don't think anybody thinks I'm up to no good. I think they think I'm kind of just, you know, you know, I'm kind of like a goofy character, maybe. Or, you know, the country boy from Grafenberg who doesn't know any better. I don't know. I say examine all of it, and let's really think about what we're getting into here before November, all right? That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless you.